I believe I've told this story before, but to me it illustrates fairly well the, at least one of the aspects of the virtue of humility, which is to be the topic for this first conference. There was a family that came to our church growing up in Colorado, and it seemed like it was, I don't know if this was always the case, but it seemed like it was the case. They always sat in front of us in Mass. And they were always late. Sometimes they were really late. Sometimes they were only a little bit late. But they were always late. And not only were they late, but the children were not very well dressed, not particularly well behaved. They weren't terrible. And it just seemed like they really didn't have their acts together. And funny thing, I remember being, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, and thinking to myself, boy, they really don't have their act together. Like, what is their deal? That's pretty sad. And it was quite a bit later, even maybe a decade later, I remember finding out something about this family, that all this time the mother had been struggling with cancer. The father had been trying to work 2 or 3 jobs to pay for treatments. And they had been suffering greatly. And so the realization that little 6 or 7 year old me had, of course, jumped to conclusions because, well, of course, that's what our human nature does. It jumps to conclusions. Always assumes the more prideful route. We want to think less of somebody else because, well, somehow that makes us better. But of course, I did not see the whole picture. A rather stern lesson for myself in humility. But can I say from this instant, after I learned the whole truth about this family, I acquired humility? Of course not. Humility is something we have to work on our whole lives. And work on it we must, because humility is a foundation. We cannot grow in the spiritual life. In fact, can we imagine acquiring any of the other virtues without humility? Really, it's an impossibility. If we are full of pride, if we are full of ourselves, then nothing we do is going to be of any value. So humility is a necessity for every person. But humility, if we look at it from the perspective of being a Christian mother, what are some aspects of humility that are particularly pertinent that might be worth pointing out? Well, first, humility in raising your children. Granted, many of you, your children are grown and are not in the house, but Nevertheless, there is still place for humility in regards to your relationship with your children. But those of you who do have children or will have children, how could we possibly raise saints, well-rounded, virtuous children, if we don't show them? A typical situation is going to be, how reactive are we? How easily do we simply react to difficulties that happen to us during a typical day? Well, you might say, my children are brats. Of course my children are brats. No, they're wonderful, and they are God's gift to you. But can they be difficult? Of course, that's the nature of the beast. They have the same human nature, the same fallen nature that we have. And so, of course, they're going to be difficult. We should know this. We're adults. And so a typical interaction, or not typical, but a common difficulty will be the bad attitude of the child, the talking back, whatever happens during the day, the not wanting to do chores, the just simply acting out. How do we react to that? Now, for adult children, maybe there's even more humility needed, because as your children grow, they, of course, grow in knowledge and confidence. And depending on their age and maybe their temperament, somehow they got to a point where they know everything. Or at least think they do. And maybe we've been in that position before. And so there's an incredible humility needed in dealing with your children, whether children or adults or young or grown. Because if the reaction is one of pride, what good is that going to do? There was a story of a saint, and now I couldn't quite remember which one it was, whether it was Saint Elizabeth or it was one of the, I don't believe it was Saint Elizabeth, but it was one of the women who was a mother and also a queen. And there were some of them that went rather differently, similar sort of scenarios, but she had taken it upon herself to become a saint and exercised a wonderful humility, even though she was the queen. In some instances, she would be at odds with her husband, who was a tyrant. And I remember this one, forgive me, I can't remember which saint for sure, but this was the scenario. She had several children, and particularly, I believe, three sons. And her husband was a choleric, hot-tempered, difficult man, prideful. And it seemed at first that her sons were going to be taking after their father. They were difficult, quarrelsome, even warlike, and it broke their mother's heart. But she continued in her same gentle, humble way, simply to be an example. Her husband, unfortunately, was killed. And I believe that she became the queen regent for a small amount of time until her oldest son was of age. And she worried and she prayed that her son would grow up not so much like his father. He did eventually take the throne, and it seemed at first that he was, of course, going to be the same strong, warrior-like man as his father was. But as he began to rule, he noticed how devoted his subjects were to his mother. There was a certain love and a certain trust that they had in the queen that he had never appreciated before. And it made him really consider, well, what does it take to be a good king? So, long story short, he chose the better path, became a very good king, because he chose to be rather like his mother in her humility than his father in his pride. But it was the example, the quiet, charitable example of this queen that won the day. It was not argumentation. And so, we could go on and on about every different scenario. But if you are going to raise happy and holy children, humility must be a foundation. This foundation is also necessary if you're going to have a happy relationship with your husband. Whether you be married 2 years or 20 or 50, this is always going to be the case. Most importantly, however, if we're to have a happy life, the person most dependent upon happiness and the practice of humility is yourself. It's another one of these conundrums, apparent contradiction in the spiritual life, such as being joyful about sufferings. The world doesn't get it. It's something that we as Catholics have a great privilege to see and to do our best to understand. But humility seems like it ought not make us happy. Again, the world doesn't understand it. The world will try to tell you, go and treat yourself. You need to, you know, this is so often an attitude. There's even little phrases that the world comes up with. You do you. Make sure that you're focusing on yourself. And the world has it completely backwards. Whereas it's true, we do need to focus on ourselves spiritually. But really, the less we are concerned about ourselves in all other ways, the happier we will be. This is shown beautifully time and time again in the lives of all of the saints. Without exception, there was never a saint who was not humble. And it must be said, in connection with this, there was never a saint who was not happy. They were the happiest people alive. And we might say, in great part, because they were humble. Now, the big question, and we might understand these beautiful sayings, and we've heard this probably many times, the importance of humility. And humility makes you happy, and it's a foundation, and all of these wonderful things, and you agree, yes, Father, great. But now the big question, how do we become humble, actually? And this is a rather difficult question, because there are perhaps many different facets to the answer. Humility can actually be a little confusing. I remember going in circles when I first joined the seminary. Of course, I want to be particularly fervent and practice virtue. To acquire a deep humility. This was something that was impressed upon us very strongly by the bishop. Be humble. Okay, so how do I be humble? For instance, go to prayers, which of course is a seminary and you do many times a day. Would it be humble to not look very reverent in chapel, because then people will think that I'm sloppy and I want people to think badly about me to be humble, right? Maybe. I don't know. It's confusing. Because we shouldn't be sloppy in chapel, but so many different, like, nuances, some difficulties in acquiring a true humility. This was something my patron saint, St. Philip Neri, was one of his greatest ambitions, was to humble himself. And his biographers mention many things. However, they do almost always say this was by a direct inspiration of the Holy Ghost that he did these things. One thing he did was, it was custom for priests at the time to wear beards. Well, he shaved exactly one half of his face to make people think he was just a little crazy. And he'd do many such things. There was a wonderful little story. He had quite the reputation for sanctity, even though he tried to make himself look crazy. And there were two foreign dignitaries coming to Rome who wanted to visit this holy, holy priest. He got wind that they were going to visit. And so when he understood that they were at the door, he had one of his companions take out a book of jokes that he kept handy. These two noblemen came to the door, and he said, "Oh, yes, welcome, welcome, but hold on. Let me finish this book of jokes." And he ordered this companion to continue reading until he told him to stop. So he kept reading this book of jokes, and St. Philip Neri just laughed heartily. And it went on for some time until these noble dignitaries felt quite put out and like, "Well, this man is crazy. We're out of here." So St. Philip, once they finally left, felt very happy with himself. But little did he know that on their leaving, someone else caught these two noblemen and clued them into the schemes of St. Philip. They realized that he had done this only for the sake of humility, and they admired him all the more for it. But again, a direct inspiration of the Holy Ghost. How are we to practice humility? We're not supposed to be a disedification or a confusion to our loved ones or to any of those people around us. Really, the practice of humility is not so confusing, but it is difficult. Acquiring a true humility, I believe, mostly comes from ardent prayer and a desire for humility, and a constant telling of ourself, it's really teaching our own mind that no, I am deserving of all punishment and humility. We see this also in the saints. One of the greatest practitioners of humility was the great Saint Francis of Assisi. He was able, even after receiving the stigmata, the marks of Christ's passion in his body, being showered with many gifts of grace, of contemplative prayer, ecstasies. Even after this, he was able to say to himself that he was the lowest of the low, a worm, a nobody. And he believed it. He was able to convince himself of this truth because the truth is what it is. He realized, as did all of the saints, most eminently our Blessed Mother, that without God, truly we are nothing. Our Blessed Mother could say this: without God, she was nothing. Unfortunately, we have to say more because she was sinless. Without God, we are worse than nothing. We have sinned. And therefore, we are an abomination left to ourselves. But how God's grace has lifted us up. And this is truth, too. We can't let that truth that we are an abomination crush our spirit, lead us to discouragement or even despair. Because the truth also is that God has lifted us up by his grace. But we have to continue in the thought. What if God's grace wasn't there? I would be the worst possible sinner. We read of horrific things going on in the news. Many different reasons, or many different things on the world stage in our own country. Unimaginable. How could humans do something so disgusting, so unthinkable? But the reality is, if God's grace did not hold me up, if it did not sustain me, I could be guilty of just as bad. maybe even worse. This is reality. Now, I suppose the difficulty remains in that we can understand this now. Like, it makes sense, and hopefully we can have those feelings of compunction, the necessity to really humble ourselves. But the difficulty remains in how do I remember it? And this is the training. We have to make it a regular point, again, to pray and desire a deeper, a more true humility. But make it a point when we pray our morning prayers. How am I going to humble myself today? Remind myself of the truth. By God's grace, I am what I am, as says St. Paul. I'm not going to take that for granted. Another saying of St. Philip Neri, even though he also a great saint, given incredible graces, miracles, etc., till his very last day, he would say every morning, Lord, beware of Philip. He'll try to betray you today. He had that caution that he still did have that fallen nature. So that's a reminder we make for ourselves every morning. Lord, I cannot do this without you. I think it's important also to make good practical resolutions. We can think ahead in most cases. It's not too difficult to forecast the day and consider, well, where are those areas that are most challenging? Is it with the children? Is it with your spouse? Is it with coworkers? Is it with your fellow Catholics? Are there areas where I know I struggle? The temptation to be judgmental, the temptation to gossip. And we arm ourselves for the day, make that resolution when these temptations come, not if, but when these temptations come, I am going to practice humility. That is, I'm going to remind myself of my absolute dependence upon Almighty God. And so it is really a training. As with everything, it requires work. We don't become proficient immediately. We also don't become proficient by fits and starts. As with everything, we have to put in consistent work. If we put in this consistent work, little by little, we can indeed retrain our brain. Remember, St. Paul tells us, it is as though there are two people within us, a man of the flesh and a man of the spirit. Again, St. Francis affectionately called his lower nature, Brother Ass. Because it's stubborn, it's difficult, does not take training very well. But this is what we must determine ourselves to do. We are, by our nature, our human nature, prideful. We are obsessed with self. But with this constant work, we can retrain. We can give God's grace prominence. Let us always remind ourselves, God made us to be happy. He gave, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the means to that happiness. Jesus showed us the way, the royal way of the cross. Again, the world does not understand, but we understand. It is by suffering, it is by hard work that we can gain a true happiness, a peace of heart that cannot be replaced by anything else. The world cannot give it to us. So, my dear friends, let's make sure that we are setting strong this foundation. All of the other virtues, all of the other things that we need to sort in our lives, figure out, the other virtues we need to acquire, the vices we need to stamp out, we can be confident that with this foundation of humility, those things will happen. Ask our Blessed Mother, most especially our Mother of Sorrows. Ask her fervently, constantly, that she give us a humility resembling her own. And again, in an apparent contradiction, ask our Mother of Sorrows, that she help us to be truly happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.